and welcome to another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by generalsjoes.com, and he's with us today, with me as your host, Chris, Return of the Mac Cloud, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me today to discuss the not quite sure I believe this news yet, that Toys R Us could be making a comeback, are Justin, I watched him die, Bell, and Adam, I made sure he was dead, Riches. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. Could this actually be real? Is Toys R Us making a comeback? Well, reports flooded in yesterday about a number of court documents that highlighted a cancellation of plans to auction off the brand and instead reorganise assets into a new company that will maintain the current license agreements and can invest in new retail operating businesses. Whew. The news has been met with a mixture of shock, happiness, and of course sympathy for the store workers that all lost their jobs those months ago. What do we think this means for the future of Toys R Us? I am joined by Justin and Adam tonight. Adam, let's start with you. What was your initial reaction when you first saw this story appear online?
Gloating. Just pure gloating. No, Nostradamus in the house, y'all. Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for 70 years putting toy stores in fear. And he's not really gone, by the way. I guess we should really open with that.
Yeah.
My mom was just in Canada for business last week, and there was a Toys R Us, I don't know, like 5 minutes from where she was. She was sending me pictures. She brought me back something from it. So, like, it's not really dead, you guys. But...
It's on. Yeah. It was on life support then for a short period of time.
Well, not to like.
It was Megatron. He was still functioning, but Starscream let him out of Astro Train anyway, and he flew off, bumped into Unicron, and then became Galvatron. Is that what's going to happen here?
Essentially, yes. You know, not to like tell you to go in the back catalog here and re-listen, but I think you'll find that when everyone else was having their Chicken Little, the Sky is Falling moment, I kept telling everyone, this is a brand that has so much history and so much brand equity in that name alone. I mean, yeah. How many times have you seen the phrase R Us parodied somewhere? There was no way this was going to die.
Yeah.
This is basically like, Hostess Twinkie. Like, somebody was going to buy it, somebody was going to do something with it, whether that was Amazon or Target or whatever. Like, there was absolutely no way it was dying.
And Justin, what were your thoughts when this news burst?
Well, my first thought was, God bless American capitalism for
USA.
Yeah, carry on.
From a nostalgic perspective, I was pretty excited to see it. Although, realistically, it does suck a little bit for a bunch of the people who lost their jobs and may or may not get them back when Toys R Us comes back bigger and probably not quite as big as before. But at the end of the day, since Toys R Us kind of closed its doors, so to speak, my 9-year-old has been a complete and utter emotional wreck. So I'm happy for her anyway.
So have we. We're not 9, and we have been acting like 3-year-olds about this. Okay, so what do you think the future holds then? Do we think, Justin? You just mentioned it's not going to be as big as it was, but do you think there's going to be? I mean, will it resemble anything like it used to be? Are we going to get stores across the nation, or what are we looking at here? Do you think?
Well, I think there'll be some resemblance, but I mean, obviously, the people who are bringing it back realize that it closed for a reason. I mean, some of that was the mismanagement of the previous brand, but I think they'll also kind of look closely at were they spread too thin? Did they have too many locations? Were they overburdened with product? I mean, all that stuff will be looked at. I think it'll resemble what we saw before. I mean, what's the point of leveraging that equity? Like Adam said, what's the point of taking advantage of the name if you're not going to at least do something to mirror what's made it successful for a couple of generations? It'll resemble what we're used to, but it may not be quite as huge and overpowering as it was in the past.
Do you think there'll be a Toys R Us in every major city, Adam?
Well, where you live, no, but
well, I did. That's why I said major city and not the middle of crack nowhere. I would love it if they'd popped up, if one of them popped up in like the little town that I live in. Population me.
I mean, it's really hard to say, honestly, but I have to imagine that even if they're running lean, like, they're still going to hit all the major markets. So, like,
yeah,
I'm in Florida, so, like, Tampa, Miami, Orlando, you know, the obvious ones. And I think that'll carry through to everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, they were hemorrhaging money previously. I mean, it was like, you know, one of the major issues were all those locations and the fact that all of those locations needed, I don't know, so much upkeep and so much like money poured into just one of those particular locations. And interestingly enough, we talked about it back in the day, Adam, back in the like 6 months ago, whenever it was. And you mentioned that they'd like recently put one up, like within a year, in your one, was it in your area or kind of somewhere?
Yeah, it's in Citrus Park, Florida, for anyone that knows that. It's right near Tampa, basically.
And the fact that they did that, when this kind of was at its peak, it seems like a very, I don't know, it seems like an odd decision when you consider all of the outgoings for a place like that. And it wasn't a small store, was it?
No, it was almost kind of like a glimpse into a future concept, because it was a little bit smaller, but it was in a strip mall. Like, the facade was built into a strip mall, like the way that like a Best Buy would be, for example.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of newer technological features that they don't have. So like, it had this like a magic mirror game where you stand in front of it and it looks like you're Jeffrey, yeah, or you're Optimus Prime. There was a play lab at the front where you could try new toys. They had a gift wrapping station there. So you could clearly see they were trying to do a lot of things that the other stores don't do. And it also seemed like they were kind of doing a lot right that I feel like the other stores missed on. Like, they had really tightened up the areas that you could tell maybe wouldn't be as crucial to the survival of Toys R Us. Like, sure. So it didn't have like a sporting goods section, for example, because there's stores dedicated for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it didn't have a dedicated Babies R Us section, because again, there's other stores you can get that. And so it really seemed to be much more streamlined on the actual toy focus of Toys R Us.
Is that how you see them in the future, kind of laying out the stores?
If they want to stay in business this time, because, you know, we live in the big box retail and Amazon world, and I think that if you really want to float, you know, you need to be specialized. You need to hone in on exactly what it is that makes your store unique that you can't get anywhere else. Yeah, and obviously, yeah, you know, this podcast is primarily focused on the action figure world, but like, So we, you know, that's where our field of expertise would be. But I would say for us as action figure fans, we need more exclusives. We need bigger set, you know, like that's the stuff you really need to focus on that other people wouldn't have. And, you know, they need to do that for everything, whether that's Barbie or whatever it is, like, put the focus on the toys.
Yeah. Justin, do you think Hasbro are going to be rubbing their hands together a little bit again? Or do you think it's, I don't know, what kind of time frame are we looking at as well? Like, that's kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, well, they've got to at least wait until Halloween's over, so all those spirit Halloweens that cannibalize their corpses can be gone. But, I mean, I think it'll be a little bit of time. I mean, obviously, a lot of the stores have shut down and emptied out, and so they've got to, anytime some of this corporate stuff is rebuilt, there's got to be some lead up to it. So I'm thinking it's probably not going to happen for, definitely not for holiday 2018, but I'm sure they will at least try to get a big chunk of stuff done for maybe the holidays next year.
Yeah, this was something that did directly affect a lot of sales for Hasbro, and not just Hasbro, but a lot of other kind of toy companies. So I know it's not going to be like the same as it was before. I feel like Toys R Us, you know, they may have, you know, they'd have a decent kind of like share of the toy market if and when they come back. Because I mean, it's not definitely going to happen. What do you say to that? Because a lot of people have been kind of responding to the posts I've been putting on Facebook, kind of going, won't happen. We'll never see this. This is all crap or whatever. What do you say to that? Do you think there's a slight possibility this could just, you know, fall apart again?
No. I think there's a significantly larger possibility of this happening than the KB Toys revival that everyone's talked about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I guess this is a good time to kind of talk about this. This is sort of, when you really look at how it's all played out, evil genius would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, if you want to know the history, it's easily looked up online, so I won't get into all that. But basically, these venture capitalists had gotten a hold of Toys R Us and through a series of bad decision-making found themselves in a bajillion dollars of debt. And at some point, I guess the decision had to be made, well, what do we do here? Because we either sell the company, but that's going to be incredibly hard to find a buyer that wants to absorb $500 million of, you know, active debt.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I have an idea. why don't we declare bankruptcy, absolve all that debt, lose 33,000 salaries we have to pay, and sell off the most valuable asset we have, which is the real estate everywhere, and then keep the one thing that we really need, which is the intellectual property, the brand, mm-hmm. the name, the logos, the trademarks. And as long as you have that, all you need at that point is a new investor or some companies willing to, you know, come up with some kind of even consignment type scenario, and you have a company again. It's really, the IP is really in the name and the logo.
Yeah.
It totally is. I mean, that's a great point by Adam. I mean, they could literally take any location anywhere, throw that unique sign up and that logo up, and kids driving by will automatically just be stop there, no matter, you know, where it is or what kind of building it is or what kind of stock is in there. It's just full of
murderers and assassins. You don't want to go in there. okay, so I mean all that's very, very good. But I mean I personally think this is going to go ahead. And I think, but I do feel like it leaves a bit of a bad taste in the mouth. And I think that there will be a lot of people that kind of boycott it. I think there'll be a lot of kind of pushback against it. And I say a lot, but then I think that will pass also over time.
Yeah.
And I also think that it'll just be that thing where it's just like, oh, well, this is, oh, well, so that's the only place I'm getting that exclusive. Looks like my Toys R Us embargo is over. So
they'll boycott it right until they need something, exactly. And then they're a boycott of you.
Right until the Dawn Moreno exclusive set comes out. Yeah. There's another thing, actually. The kind of Toys R Us exclusive angle. Do you think that with Toys R Us coming back, do you think that opens a door again for maybe Joe at retail? Or, you know, like, I know that's like a bit of a loaded question, and it's probably, you know, and I know we've discussed this ad infinitum, but that's something I think that was always connected. The Toys R Us, you know, we finished on a Toys R Us exclusive line. I mean, is that something, do you think, to hold on to and hope with?
I'm pretty sure, like, G.I. Joe and probably killed Toys R Us. That was the final death blow, them carrying the 50th anniversary line. So, you know, G.I. Joe's just, their aura is just, they kill everything they touch. So I think they're probably going to stay clear away from any more G.I. Joe exclusives.
I mean, clearly, with as much as all of us love G.I. Joe and this being a G.I. Joe-focused podcast, that is so small potatoes right now for a company in the current situation they're in.
I'm just thinking about myself, really. I'm not thinking about the thousands of people that lost their jobs or care about the
company. When am I going to get G.I. Joe toys
again? When am I going to get G.I. Joe toys again? Yeah. No, in all honesty, no, it was really just, you know, I don't know, that connection has always been there, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a fair point and a fair question. And I'm sure the majority of people listening to this podcast, are the reason they're excited about Toys R Us coming back is because they're hoping it means there might be some kind of sign of G.I. Joe at retail. But yeah, I would estimate that the return that Toys R Us got on those exclusives was a pretty small drop in the bucket of their
500
issues.
Billion. Yeah. Well, anyway, anyhoosen, Toys R Us, I mean, this is not going away. This story has lingered for so long. And, you know, it's quite weird, actually. There's never really been a day where there hasn't been some sort of story come out about Toys R Us. About the kind of, you know, the absolutely insane, like, administration aspect and everything just going down the tubes, and then people losing their jobs, and then there was no severance, and then there was, and then they some fought for some sort of severance package, and then Canada stayed alive, and some other countries stayed alive, and then UK dropped first, I think, and then the US came, the US went, and it was just like, what? And then after that, it's just been this kind of cavalcade of, like, I don't know, like, scandals coming out about the companies, you know, involved in the kind of takeover and the liquidation and so on and so forth. And now we're at that stage now where it looks like it's on the cards that they want to revitalize this brand. And what makes me laugh is they're doing this as if we're not aware of what the whole plan of what they wanted to do in the first place. You know, exactly. It's almost as if, like, oh, we've pulled one over on you. But no, it's it's obvious what's going on here. You know,
devious beyond belief.
Yeah. but like, it's almost like, it's like, oh, we got away with it, but they're saying it out loud. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, look, guys, we got away with it, but the tannoy is on and everyone in the world can hear them say it and they know it's on as well. It's almost like this weird kind of, you know, well, we'll just be selling you toys soon, so we think it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I mean, here's another question just quickly before we close. Do you think that Do you think that they will offer some of the people that lost their jobs a job back? Or do you think that that ship has sailed now?
Well, I think this gets into some really interesting territory because, well, so much interesting territory. Actually, the first thing is, if they don't offer those people some kind of severance, and then the same company immediately is to return, that looks pretty sketchy. Like, you know, the reason they couldn't do it is because they went out of business. So I feel like they have to give them something, but then it also gets into this very weird territory of like, well, you know, how do we differentiate between a seasonal employee versus someone that put in 20 years? And, you know, ultimately it is, basically a minimum wage retail job. So there's a lot of like morality versus business there. And then speaking of morality versus business, another interesting thing I guess to bring up is I've heard so many people say that, oh, well, you know, why would Hasbro and Mattel ever want to do business with them again after they had, you know, basically
because
hundreds of millions of dollars
they
of debt.
Need
like,
to
exactly well it's such a you know and that's kind of funny to me that anyone even questions that, because business is not personal, you know. For Hasbro and Mattel, this is such an enormous amount of their yearly profit that they'd be crazy not to get back involved with them, even though they kind of burned them real bad. So this is there's just so many layers to this.
It's really interesting, isn't it? And I imagine this is not going away anytime soon. Guys, thank you for jumping on and chatting about this for a short period of time. Should have been like half less than we actually intended, but that's what we do here on The Full Force. We just keep talking and don't shut up. So that's it for this installment of The Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Adam, Paddy and Dave. They weren't involved at all. Thank you.
Screw those guys.
Yeah, them. Thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Justin and Adam. See you next time. And as always, full Toys R Us. That worked. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.